alone, actually, that happens. So here, there are two verses that we're talking about. Srila Jivan Goswami presents these two verses, different verses, Srimad Bhagavatam verses. His modus operandi, he selects a statement, selects a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, and through that he shows, he proves, he presents evidence of what is trying to establish. So now he is going to establish that the first Lord's body is eternal and all-pervading. Text 45. Basically, this is already we heard before, actually, so much we heard. So this is a more or less like a concluding verse, actually, putting together everything that we heard about all-pervading form. And remember, it is the personal form that itself is all-pervading. Everywhere it is there, as the super soul, Paramatma. And then text 46 we will hear, but Lord's form that is not material, thus invisible, yet we can see, devotees can see. So text 45, so here Srila Goswami presents quite a few verses, and because of the time constraint, I chosen just a very few key verses actually. This from Canto 8, Chapter 6, 869, there's a third chapter also, 24th verse and 30th verse. So this is the verse, these two verses actually, the Canto 8, Chapter 6, text 8 and 9. So he doesn't discuss these two verses exactly the back-to-back, as we'll see why it is that. This is about Brahma, Lord Brahma, offering prayers. Now, we have been hearing quite a bit about Brahmaji's prayers. So Brahmaji, throughout Srimad Bhagavatam, Brahmaji offers prayers at the multiple places, actually, quite different instances. So this is the what happened, the demigod, king of the demigods, Indra, as really happens quite often, sometimes he buffed up, he becomes intoxicated by the great opulence and the great power that he withholds. So in that, what happened, actually it happened twice actually. One, when his Guru Maharaj, Rasti, was entering the assembly, and he did not get up. When one's guru comes, obviously, to honor, you have to get up from your asana, and he didn't do that. And of course, Braspati, in the full assembly, he didn't say anything, he just walked away. But because of that, he suffered mightily. But here, in this particular case, that is, Jeeva Goswami is presenting his verses, what happened at that time, actually, Dvasa Muni, and Dvasa Muni is well known, of short temper, and he curses people left and right, So here, Dvasa Muni was returning from Vaikuntha, from the Vishnu Loka, and he had this garland, Lord Vishnu's garland, and he saw Indra coming on his great elephant called Airavata, and he was full of majesty and so on like that. So out of great compassion for Indra and to honor him, he presented this Lord Vishnu's garland to him. Now this foolish Indra, instead of really recognizing the great honor, what he did, he simply neglected and he threw that garland, instead of honoring him by wearing him, he put it on his elephant's head actually. And of course, the elephant, being ignorant, that a garland actually fell down to his feet and he then got simply trampled while he's walking. So Dvasa Muni was greatly agitated, and he became very angry and he cursed him that you'll soon lose all your opulence. So that opulence is the one that you become puffed up, and that stolen your intelligence. god of Shai Vishnu resides in that little island there. So Lord Brahma began offering prayers. So these are the prayers of Lord Brahma to Lord Lord Shildar Shai Vishnu. So let's go to the next PowerPoint. Let's see this. So one of the verses is here, the verse 8 actually. And I have given you in Sanskrit, because remember, in order to understand, it's very really understand the verse itself. And best way, instead of directly reading the translation, English translation, we should really analyze the verse itself, Sanskrit. And the difficulty is because in Sanskrit there are composite words, as I'm telling you many times. So you need to learn to break it up. So here what I have done, some few select verses that I that we want to analyze. I particularly purposefully put it down into so complex words, composite words, I've broken down into individual words. So verse is in Ajata Janma Sthiti Sanyamaya Agunaya Nirvana Sukha Arnavaya. Ajata Janma Sthiti Sanyamaya Agunaya Nirvana Sukha Arnavaya. Anor Anime Aro Anor Anime Aparigarnya Dhamane Aparigarnya Dhamane Mahanubhavaya Namo Namaste Namo Namaste. So Brahmaji said, please accept my humble obeisances. I offer repeatedly and you are the most exalted, my Lord. Ajata means you are unborn, you never take birth, even though you take birth, but that is what appearance and disappearance, manifest or unmanifest. So you are unborn, and then you appear, then it continue your life as if it seemingly, and then you disappear, So both, you take birth, maintain for some time, and then disappear, and then you are agunaya, you are devoid of all qualities. What it means, it's not nirguna nirakara, but actually you don't have material qualities. Agunaya means without any material qualities. Nirvana, you are the place, your body is the place of liberation, and full of sukha, full of bliss, and avaranaya, aranavaya. So that is what you are the place of, your body is the place where all complete bliss is there. And that bliss of just being able to see you, there is billions of times more than the bliss that you observe when one becomes liberated from material existence. So that is the bliss of seeing Lord's body, and you are anor anime, you are so infinitesimal, even the smallest of the atomic size, actually even within the atom itself also you are tiny, your form is so tiny, so that means he enters every atom. It's like the very name Vishnu. Visha means to enter, Anu means the atom. He enters every atom of the universe. So you can see that he can really exist in the smallest of the small, smallest even the subatomic size, he can be there. And then later on we'll see that he is Vibhu also. Even the universe itself can reside in his body. So that's a complete pole apart contradictions are there. And then, so here is Aparigarnya. So on one side, you are so infinitesimal, smallest of the small, and then you are also Aparigarnya, immeasurable, huge, Aparigarnya Dhamane, your body is the place that the entire universe resides within you, actually. And that is what really Mahanubhavaya, that is what is inconceivable. We can't even conceive that, we can't even comprehend that through our tiny intelligence. And our own experience, we cannot understand that. So you see that, so he's clearly establishing that Krishna's body is all pervading, So now we can hear the actual translation. So I offer repeat, so you can see the breaking down of the composite words, you can very clearly see that, I offer repeatedly, go down to you who are most exalted, who have never been subject to birth, continuance, or destruction. So your body is eternal, unlike the bodies of conditioned soul. And you are without material qualities, Agnaya, but full of auspicious Bhagavan, whose ocean of bliss is better than liberation. Nirvana is liberation. Better than Sukha Arnavayo, who is Paramatma, and smaller than Adam, and who has an immeasurable form. So both opposite ends of that. So that is the verse. So what Jiva Goswami also presents, as usually does, the commentary by here commentary of Bhavartha Deepika actually. So here this little commentary phrases that verse, actually rephrases that Brahmaji's verse, presents like I'll read the translation straight. Brahma, so basically Brahmaji is saying in this verse, according to that Sridhar Swami Maharaj, his commentary, Sridhar Swami Maharaj said that he establishes that the Lord's body is eternal and all pervading, by saying, what is he saying? That it is not that the your body did not exist previously and has appeared now, but it existed before and has only now become visible, means becomes manifest. So you see that Lord's different forms, like Lord Ramachandra incarnation, Nishima Avatara, Vara Avatara, and so on like that. It's not like that they existed only in being. They are eternally existing and eternally connecting with pastimes in different universes, all the time. So all the time, Krishna's all these different incarnations are existing all the eternally, not at one particular time. It's only thing that in this universe, it manifests and unmanifests. That's the only difference. So when it becomes unmanifest here, that particular form is manifesting that particular lila somewhere else actually, So that is what really essentially, according to Sridhar Swami Maharaj, that is what Brahmaji is saying there. So he is everywhere, all pervading. So there is a feature in this particular verse. Next PowerPoint, we. Hare Krishna. So, in the same conclusion is also confirmed by Dhruva Maharaj also actually in 4th canto, 9th chapter, 10th verse. And I'm not going to discuss that particular verse, but basically it's saying the same thing. So what Sridhar Swami Maharaj is actually analyzes that Brahmaji's verse actually, that Anoranyame means atomic size within atom, size. So it's finer than the atom, the Lord's form. So Lord can exist in a very, very fine form actually. And at the same time, he's also Aparigranya Dhanane. He is immeasurable. So he is Vibhu. He's everywhere, entire universe can reside with him. So that's why even Kunti Mata also offers prayer the same way, that you are inside by. Same way we saw that last week, that Mother Yashoda saw within the mouth of baby Krishna, the entire universe residing so right there actually. At the same time, she was seeing Krishna right in front of him at the same time. But within Krishna's body, the entire universe was there. So his form is the basis for all different measurements. And this unique feature of his form should also be understood. That is what Sridhar Swami Maharaj actually emphasizes here. And Jiva Goswami actually emphasizes especially that we must clearly understand this particular feature of it, that he is everywhere and he is subatomic size, at the same time he is Vibhu, his entire universe can reside within him. This this is what this is the incredible potency, incredible feature of Krishna's form. Okay, this is another verse. This is the second verse. Now Jiva Goswami is presenting, and here he is also making a point, different point though. Rupam tava ete. So here again, that whole composite word, I broke it down. Rupam tava ete. Purusha ijam. So again, that Purusha Rishabha, I broke it down. So Purusha Rishabha ijam. Shreyo Arthibhir Vedek Tantikena Yogena Dhataha Sanashtri Trilokan Pashyami Amusmin Amusmin Uha Vishwamunto. Okay, let's try to understand that. So Tantrikena, so through the Vedas and this Tantra Shastra, we can understand, my Lord, your form, the Vedas, Vedika and Tantra, the Tantric Shastra, you know. That we can ultimately, we can make sense out of it, we can understand that your opulence, Shreya opulence, your form, Rupam, Tava Ete, your this particular root, this particular form that I'm seeing right now. So here actually you see when Brahmaji is offering prayers at the bank of sweat to the people, and with him, his oldest, all the demigods were there, along with Indra, and Lord Shiva was there. So here the Lord Vishnu is actually showing the form only to Brahmaji and Lord Shiva. These are the only two personalities who could actually see the Lord Brahma and Lord Vishnu. The others were present but they could not see that. So there is again another feature. The Lord could make himself visible at the same time to a select people that he wants to show. And he may not be visible to everyone else actually, you know? So that's another feature that we must keep in mind. So what Ramana is saying, oh my Lord, O Supreme Person, you know, Rupam eva, your form, your beautiful form is the best. Rishabha means best, you know. We are going to hear about Lord Rishabhdev also. So his name was actually, his father gave him that name because he was the best in all different respects of my, yeah. So Rishabha means best. O Purusha Rishabha, among the men, you are the best among them. And your ijam, you are worshipable, most worshipable. Shreya Arthibir, and that we can understand from the Vedas, Vedika, through the Vedas, study of Vedas and the Tantras. And Yogena Dhatasa Nastri Loka. Nastri Loka, now means us. The demigods are saying we. In the three lokas, all the upper, middle and low branded systems. So your form, this particular form that we are seeing, is worthy of worship by all seekers of ultimate good by the means of describing the Vedas. So that is what the form, actually the method is devotional service. So, oh my Lord, O Creator, in this universal form of yours, so this is a gigantic universal form he's talking about, and be the demigods, now means be the demigods, and all these three planetary systems all actually reside within you. So so he is now referring to the universal form of the Lord actually. So entire universe is your body actually, you know. This Patal Loka, the lower planetary system is lotus feet of the Lord and going upward all the way. So Brahma Loka, Satya Loka is actually the face of the Lord actually. That's what they are saying. So we, the demigods, are actually being the part and partial. We are the limbs of the body actually. That's what Brahmaji is saying there. So, and that is what we are seeing, Pashyami. That's what I am seeing, you know. Vishwamurta. Vishwamurta means the great universal form. Alright? Next problem. So now we are going to get to a very, very exciting part of it. Okay, so this is the another verse, and this is the verse again from the same 8th canto, 3rd chapter, 24th text. So here we are seeing a little bit more about the feature of the Lord actually. Sa koi na deva sura madhya tiryan na stri na shando. ಜಂತು ನಪುಮಾನ ಜಂತು ನಾಯಂ ದ್ರೋಣ ಕರ್ಮ ನ ಸನ್ನ ಚೂಸನ್ ನಿಷೇಧ ಶೇಷ ಜಯತಾ ಅಶೇಷ. ಸೊ ಮೈ ಲೋರ್ಡ್, ಯು ಆರ್ ನೀದರ್ ದ ಡೆಮಿಗಾಡ್ಸ್ ನ ದೇವ ನ ಅಸುರ ನ ಡೀಮ್ ನಾಟ್ ಇವನ್ ಡೀಮನ್ಸ್ ಮತ್ಯು ದಟ್ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ವಿ ಆರ್ ವಿತ್ ದ ಲಿವಿಂಗ್ ಕಮಿಷನ್ ಸೋಲ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿ ಮಿಡಲ್ ಪ್ಲಾನೆಟ್ ಸಿಸ್ಟಮ್. ಸೊ ವಿ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ದಿಸ್ ಬರ್ತ್ ಡೆತ್ ಆಲ್ ದಿ ಡಿಸೀಸಸ್. ಸೊ ವಿ ಆರ್ ನಾಟ್, ಯು ಆರ್ ನಾಟ್ ಇವನ್ ದಿ ಹ್ಯೂಮನ್ ಬೀಯಿಂಗ್ ನೋರ್ ಅ ಮ್ಯಾನ್ ವುಮನ್ ನಾಟ್ ಎ ಮೇಲ್ ಆರ್ ಫಿಮೇಲ್ ನೋ ಯುನಿಕ್ ನಾಟ್ ಥರ್ಡ್ ಜೆಂಡರ್ an embodied being of any kind. So now that basically one wonder what form of the Lord is there actually. So actually what Ramaji is saying, that really all these species that I created as part of your instruction, none of the 8.4 million species forms that you belong to, that you are basically. That was the reason why when Hiranyakashipu sought a particular varadana from Lord Brahma, that he wanted to become immortal. So Brahma, he said, I cannot make you immortal because I myself is not immortal. So then he thought that he was real too smart. So he covers every possible base that none of the living entities in the creation of Lord Brahma can kill him. So basically he is asking for immortality. That's where he is saying that none of the 8-point life form that you created can kill me. Not in the morning, not in the evening, and so on like that. So here that this particular form, I is saying the same thing, that you do not belong any of the forms. And that's where Lord Nrsingha form, neither human form, not animal form. And Nrsingha, they have killed Hiranyakashipu with his nails, because he said that no weapons can kill me, So Jiva also makes that actually point here about that. So he said that you are not female, male, unit, or embodied being of any kind. That is hermaphrodite. And he is not a constituent quality of nature, nor the mechanism of action. Neither is he cause or effect. He is unlimited and remains when everything is negated. May he ever be glorious. So he is glorifying the Lord actually. So there's again that Lord is all pervading, and he's eternal, and he's all the time existing. So now here there's another verse Jiva Goswami is presenting again to make the same point here. But this is another important, interesting point actually. Another interesting angle that we are seeing the same conclusion. Here, it is Gajendra, the king of the elephants, he is offering prayers. So again, that is a pastime given in the 8th canto, 3rd chapter. So this king of the elephant, he is at the Triputa mountain place in the upper planetary system. Particularly in this milk ocean, right there. So there, this king of the elephants, along with Hrem, along with all the many female elephants, he was sporting in a huge lake, I think. So he was playing, sporting. So at that time, what happened? Suddenly, a crocodile cut hold of his feet, his foot actually, and his belt, King Gajendra really struggled very, very hard to become free from that crocodile. He was very powerful, no doubt, Gajendra, but that's his power only works on the land, but in the water, deep, this crocodile was pulling him deep in the water actually. So that is where he realized that all his attempt to become free from the grip of crocodile is going to be futile. So then out of great desperation, then he begins offering prayers. Now you might wonder how an elephant can offer prayers, but actually that was no ordinary elephant. In his previous life, he was a great devotee of the Lord actually. And that's another great feature. nature of the Lord so merciful that when we did actually any devotional service, offering prayers and so on like that, so even though by our karma we have to accept another bodily form, and that also not necessarily human form, love makes us sure that we do remember our previous devotional service. So that's how King Elephant, he was able to remember what he did, and he was able, so in Jatispa, he could remember his previous lifetime also, you know, and he was offering prayers to the Lord actually, so that by the Lord's. But here, Gajendra, the way he's offering prayers, in a way he is not particularly describing Lord Vishnu. In a general way, that's what the verse says. Evam Gajendra Upavarnita Nirvishesha. What is Nirvishesha? Without describing any particular name or feature of the prayers that he was offering. So because of that, none of the demigods would come to his rescue. But each of the demigods, particular name, particular form, and particular characteristics that by which when you offer prayers to Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma and so on like that, Lord Ganesha, then that particular demigod will appear, you know, to you know, help the particular soul, you know. So here Gajendra did not accept. He said the verse in a very, very general way without any particular specific features. So none of the demigods would appear actually. And nonetheless, Lord Vishnu did appear, you know. So here, even Gajendra Upavarnita, Upavarnita means he's often describing that. So because Gajendra, the king of the elephant, had described the absolute in non-specific terms, now that doesn't necessarily mean that he was praying to the Brahman form. Brahman form is in an impersonal aspect of it. No, he was offering prayers to a personal God, you know, because he was a great devotee in the previous life. So he had this personal form of the Lord in his mind actually, but he was not describing a particular feature. So so in that non-specific term, so the demigods headed by Brahma, who identified themselves with particular names and forms, they did not come to his rescue. But at that moment, Lord Hari, that is Lord Vishnu, he and he saw the elephant smoking in a great you know, danger. So immediately with his Sudarshan Chakra, his disc, he cut off the head of the crocodile, and thus the elephant, king of the elephant, became free. At that time, actually, the king of the elephant was holding in his trunk his lotus, and he put the lotus, he offered lotus to the Lord actually. It's so beautiful, so sweet, you know. So here again, next PowerPoint. Again, is saying, making the same point actually, that Lord is form is eternal, all pervading feature. Next PowerPoint. So here again, Srila Swami Maharaj makes some important comments here. That. So here, a personal doubt may occur, you know. So Brahmaji is anticipation of that, that's why he's saying, he's covering that. So here, so Lord is absolutely free from all material limitations. This does not mean, however, that he has no form or personality. So it is not that Gajendra was offering prayers to an impersonal Brahman. He was offering prayers to a person, you know. So to further clarify that, Jiva Goswami actually cites this particular two verses that I just offered. So Gajendra mentions no names or personal features of the Lord, as if he apparently he was praying to the unqualified Brahman, but no. So Lord Vishnu did appear and saved him. So Lord here is neither the modes of material nature nor their effect. So he's completely transcendental. That's the point that is made. However, he is still a person devoid of material forms. He does not have material form, his own spiritual. So when you say that he does not have modes of material nature, that means he does not have material form. Take that very same point we are going to hear in the next week's classic. Very important point here actually, you know. And I don't want to preempt that, but that point we are going So when we say that Lord doesn't have any of the three modes of material nature, that means body is not material, it's all spiritual. So the significance that particular Sanskrit word, Nishadha Sesho, that's very, very significant. And yet, by his grace, he can be seen by unalloyed devotees. So that is the point, actually, I want to bring it here. That's the point, that is the aspect that really fascinated me, when I was preparing for this class about 2 weeks back. So that is this text 46, very, very important text. Let's see that. And that lizard was dumped into a well, actually, an empty vow. So what happened, this is now Vrindavan time. So Krishna's young princess, headed by Pradyumna, they were just wandering into the forest in Dwarka, and they saw this lizard trapped into this well, and they became very, very compassionate that this lizard is clearly starving. Doesn't look like, he looks like he's been starving, maybe it must have been very, very long time. So they wanted to save that lizard to bring it out of the well, and they tried their best, but they couldn't do that. So in the meantime, Krishna came along there, and he saw that, and he helped get the lizard cut out of the well. And then, by the touch of Lord Krishna, that lizard came into life, you know, and came into human form, and that was King Riga. So then King Riga is offering prayers to hear this particular prayer. So here there are two aspects of the prayer actually. First is expressing great astonishment that being able to see them here face to face, you know. So there are two aspects of it. First, he's saying the Lord's own feature that makes it impossible for any living entity with material eyesights, the material senses, to be able to witness that adokshaya. You know, the Lord is all spiritual. How can with material? So that means spiritual means there are no material elements. So how can you see a form with our material elements? Eyes is a material eyes can actually see the Lord in a spiritual form. So that itself doesn't make sense, you know. So that's the Lord's own feature actually, and yet Lord was showing himself. So first thing that one might wonder, one might doubt, that's what Jiva Goswami is mentioning there, that is it possible that the only material eyes can see only form that are made of material elements? So could it be that Lord's form is all material? Some critics might say that, and here Jiva Goswami refutes that, no, that's not the case, no, that thing is not possible. So in that, to refute that, the second aspect he's pointing out, King Riga, that about his own inability to see the Lord. He said that I have these material eyes and I cannot see you, that, you know. So here, let's read that. So all providing Lord, you are the transcendental self, contemplate through the eyes of the Upanishads. So that means the Vedas and Upanishads showing that the all providing Lord is the super soul aspect of it, Paratma. And you are the master of yoga, Yogeshwara, in the pure heart. So you resides in the hearts of the great yogis. So that's the third aspect of it, of the Lord actually. So Lord, in order to see the Lord face to face, one must be completely free from any material contamination. Very, very important point. You know, when we think that we are devotees, now we are qualified to see the Lord. That doesn't necessarily make, as long as we have these material desires in our heart, if we are still materially contaminated, then we are not ready, we are not yet qualified, we don't have adhikara to be able to see the Lord. Even this, you know, so Lord cannot show him, you know, that so we have to be completely free from all material changes. You know? So here, that's what King Nida is saying, that I am in this very, very abominable lizard body. It's full of ignorance, you know. I don't have a qualification to see you, and yet you're showing yourself. This is the third aspect of it. And you have blown sense perception. Now become visible to me, and that's very, very astonishing. And then in my intellect, it's so blinded by deep attachment. Attachment to what? Material desires, material needs. That's what the verse says. Uru Vivasananda Anda Vyasana means all material desires. This great indulgence to enjoy materially, you know? That is Vyasana. And Anda, so that is blinded. Buddhi, my intelligence is blinded because of that. So I cannot even think like that straight. You know? So how am I able to? So he's showing his own disqualification to be able to see the Lord, you know. And yet, Lord, in spite of all these things, so somebody who is even perfect in all sense still doesn't necessarily mean that Lord is going to show. The Lord reserves his right if only by his mercy God can make himself visible, you know. Without his mercy, that is also not possible. So, of course, he says the devotees can say, so devotees by the dint of the devotional service. But even when we engage ourselves in devotional service, still that does not guarantee us that Lord will be visible to us. It's by Lord's mercy alone. So that is the primary aspect of here, that Lord is visible only by his own Swamaya. Yeah. So that's the point here. So King Liga, who is the son of Ikshvaku, King Ikshvaku, who appeared in the Sun dynasty, where Lord Ramachandra later appears. So also describe the Lord's imperceptible nature as Paramatma, Paratma. So this is most astonishing, King Raga is saying, that despite you being all-pervading, you are everywhere, and yet people cannot see you. So nobody can see Paramatma is right in your heart, and you are looking all over to see the Lord. You see, that's another dilemma actually. Lord is right within us and cannot see that. I have now become visible to my eyes, and so there is your great, great mercy. That's what King Raga is saying to the Lord actually. By your causeless mercy, that you are making yourself visible to my material eyes, you know, who normally cannot see that. So only those who are free from material bondage should be able to see you. And I don't, because I'm in the lizard body. So owing to the material misery of the lizard body, my intelligence had been blinded. So because of this lower animal form, he was full of material desires and so on like that, you know. And that doesn't allow us to be able to, in fact, we cannot even engage in bhakti as long as we have this material desires. But it goes both hand in hand. You perform bhakti by the mercy of the Lord's devotees actually. Lord sends his devotees in our lives. And the simple act of being engaged in bhakti by chanting, being able to chant Hare Krishna, then we gradually become purified of all these material desires. As I keep saying all the series of verses, you know, Prabhadara Krishna, Punya Shravana Kirtana, Riyantastho Bhagnani Vidhimavati Sunit Sata. The Lord sitting in the heart is super soul, and that's exactly the form that this King Rita is talking about, Paratma form. There's a super soul form. So super soul is so merciful. When we simply hear about Krishna, all the glories of the Lord actually, chanting the holy name, then Lord sitting in our heart is Paramatma. He really cleanses our heart, all the inauspicious things. And what are those inauspicious things? Kama, Krodha, Lobha, Moha, Mada, Mats, six spices. So that actually is the result of the influence of the lower modes of material nature, modes of passion and ignorance. So Lord, doing this, he removes the influence of the lower modes and he replaces the lower modes with the mode of goodness, ultimately pure mode of goodness. It is the next one, Nashta Prayashva Bhadreshu, Nityam Bhagavat Sevaya, Bhagavati Uttama Sloke Bhakti Bhavati Vaishakti. So he, when we constantly serve and hear Srimad Bhagavatam and also the devotee Bhagavata, they are also called Bhagavata, we serve them, then all the pre-existing dirt in our heart become destroyed, nashta. And then irrevocable bhakti that develops, the steady determination, you know, bhakti stabilizes our heart. And then at that time what happened? Tada, at that time, rajas tamo bhava kama lobha adashaye chetir etavintam sitam sattve prasidati. So Lord, what he does, he removes the influence of the lower modes. And in that place, he establishes the pure mode of goodness. You know, and so all the six vices are gone. It is at that point the real bhakti begins actually. And that is what he says in the next verse actually. You know, evam prasanna manaso, because we are in the pure mode of goodness, so automatically this great bliss develops, great happiness develops in our heart. Evam prasanna manaso bhagavad bhakti yogata, at that time pure bhakti, we become engaged now. And then not only that, bhagavad tattva vijnanam, the science of God, science of Krishna automatically develops in our heart, who Krishna really is, you know. And then we become free and mukta sangasya jayate. So in the Kshetriya, Kshetrachasya Karmani, Drashta Evam Vatva. So what happens, this is Bhagavad Gita Vijnan, science of Krishna, and that's exactly we've been hearing in this Jiva Goswami's six endeavors. Srila Jiva Goswami, by great compassion, is letting us to know the completely who Krishna really is. What is his body? What's his potencies? What's his nature? Everything is revealing to us, you know, and how he could be pleased, how his mercy could be invoked by simply engaging devotional service. So that's what is happening. So when we get this science of pure Krishna consciousness, then what happens? What's his potency? That's given that next verse. Vitatirudaya Granthis. So the Granthi is the tight note. We are spirit soul, and we still have tremendous capacity to enjoy material nature. We want to, all the time we develop material desires, and there is no end to it. So there is a tight note in spirit and matter. We are spirit soul, so constitutively we have nothing to do with that, and yet because we are accepting this material body, so we develop these desires, material desires to enjoy. So this tight note, we can't do anything on our own, and yet because we develop by the mercy of the Lord, all these things begin simply by hearing all about Krishna. So this is why I'm telling you, all these things that we have been hearing about it, remember it's already started acting on you, on us, all of us. But its potency has already started working on us. The time for which that you've been hearing about this Shri Jiva Sandarbhas, Srimad Bhagavatam, already your heart is being purified by the Lord actually. And by that time, no inauspicious thing will ever enter in your heart as long as you are hearing that. And that you can see right now, everyone who has been listening here, an inauspicious thing does not even enter in your heart, you know. But there is Maya. Maya cannot come in front of Krishna. When we hear Krishna, when we chant Hare Krishna, Maya has no jurisdiction to come in front of Krishna's name, holy name, his pastimes and his attributes and so on like that. So Maya's three modes of material nature cannot act in that, you know. And then, just Evatmani Ishwaya, Kshetrachasya Karmani, all the accumulated of millions and millions and millions of lifetimes that we cannot ever hope to abolish, is simply gone in that, by just his Bhagavad Tattva Vijnana. So in this is five verses, is that exactly what is being pointed out here actually, you know. So Lord, this amazing thing I found, I was so, you know, and that's why I sent you that email to all of you. Please don't miss this class, because this is what, when you hear this, just incredible miracles happening, revolution, our entire existence is being revolutionized, you know, and Lord is purifying us. And then Lord can make himself visible to us. Normally we don't have the qualification to see the Lord. Here you see the solid proof right there in this verse. Being that I'm saying that Lord, by his mercy, by his great compassion, anukatesham anubhanukam partham, Bhagavad Gita, the Chatushloki Bhagavad Gita verse is also says the same thing. Tesham eva anukam partham, aham adhyanaja. So I remove all the darkness born of your ignorance from your heart by jnana dhitena bhashvate, by this Bhagavad Tattva Vijnana, that knowledge that is like it removes all the andhakara or the darkness of ignorance. Ignorance of what? Who we were. We are not this body, we are spirit soul, and we are meant to serve the Lord. So that kind of intelligence is removed actually, you know. So that is the point, and that Lord himself, at that time when we become pure, and that purity comes by the Lord's own efforts, not our own efforts. We cannot become purified by our own efforts actually. Unless Lord desires, Lord, you know, and Lord sees that only when we have the desire. We don't have capability, but we do have the desires. So we just have to convert those material desires into spiritual desires. Then Lord himself will make himself visible to us, you know. So here I posed a question to all of you also, and asked for the volunteers to answer. So Lord Krishna, when he appeared on this planet in Dwarka and down everywhere, actually Lord was visible to everyone. Remember, Lord used to, when he went to see Mathura, all the people on the street, they went to see the Lord actually in the street. The same thing in Dwarka also, when they would return from in the cluster after visiting Pandavas, whenever he would return to So wherever Lord used to go, thousands and thousands of people on the street would, they were able to see. So question might here might occur, how are they able to see Krishna even with their material eyes? But actually Sharad Prabhu was very nice. He volunteered and he almost hit the right answer actually. So Sharad Prabhu said that actually it is when people are able to see, those who are able to see, then they may see the Lord, but they may not see the Lord who really He is. That He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that cannot see. That's what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, that Moga, the stupid people, Avajanandi Maam Moga, Manushyam Tarum Ashritam, when I appear in this human form, the mass of people who are Mudas, those who are stupid, foolish people, they think that I am an ordinary human being and they do not see who I am. I am Bhuta Maheshwara, I am the Abhyam, I am the imperishable, I am eternal, and my body never dissipates and so on like that. So, as He is the Supreme Form, He is the all spiritual form, He is transcendental form, all providing great aspects of the Lord. People don't see. They may see the Krishna, but they may not realize, and they think that He is ordinary human being. In fact, Srila Prabhupada works out that the stupidity of the people, because the influence of the more so material than Maya, they don't see who really Krishna is. Krishna they don't see they see only as an ordinary human being. And the ordinary human being they see as a God. So they create some ordinary people that they like, that their favorite actors, and so on like that, they think that they are the incarnation of God. So this is also influence of Maya. So this is what the point I was trying to make, that the Sharad Prabhu actually hit the answer, not exactly right, but he right on the nail actually, head on the nail, that people who are able to see, they don't necessarily see as He who He is really. So this really brings our confidence, our faith and conviction that Krishna exists and He is all merciful, even though we may not be qualified. But since we have this genuine desire, we want to hear and we have determination to practice, keep attending the such classes. Whenever there is an opportunity to hear about Krishna, you make yourself available. Krishna is ready to shower His mercy, but we are the one who should be ready to receive His mercy. That's the difference between devotees and non-devotees. Devotees are willing partners there. The others, so even the mercy is everywhere. Krishna is equal to everyone, Samaha Sarvesha Bhutya. But it's the recipient's own desire that makes it happen actually. So this is what really wonderful, that Krishna, even this Kali Yuga also he can appear. And Krishna will appear in the previous week's class. Krishna will appear in the form that His devotees desire. Of course, that doesn't mean that anything a particular person desires, they would appear. If someone wants to see in a form of Lord Shiva, no. It's only Lord Vishnu form. So, the devotee has to be Vaishnava. Okay, so now let's continue. So, that's what I was really, really astonished. Really excited about this particular this group of verses. There are quite a few different places that we see, because people always ask, has anyone ever seen Krishna? Has anyone ever seen the God face to face? They don't understand that you have to develop qualification, adhikara, to be able to see Krishna. Even when Krishna comes in front of you, you will not recognize Him. So you have to have that particular adhikara, and that is bhakti is the adhikara. Krishna is bhaktya maam avijananti. Okay, let's continue. So now we are at PowerPoint number 8, I believe. So although the Lord is always visible, invisible, He can be seen by His own power. And that Krishna Himself, it's all upon Him. He is fully swarada, He is fully independent. Who could ever see the immortal Supreme Lord, who is the Supreme Self of all beings? And that is given in this particular shastra, also is given the same. So Bhagavan's mercy is the only reason that this power is activated. Otherwise you cannot see. That's also given in Shruti Shastra. And same with Krishna says to Narada also in Mahabharata, the same, that he should not think that just as other objects have forms and thus visible, this body of mine is also similarly visible just because it has form. I could disappear in a moment if I desire. That's what Krishna says there. So when Krishna appeared to Narada, so Narada should not assume that it is by his mercy alone he is there, you know. Otherwise he could not see that if he confessed. So Krishna selectively makes himself visible to some people that he desires. In fact, Bhagavad Gita, there is a verse there actually. Naham prakashasya sarvasya. That I do not appear to everyone, and I hid myself under the curtain of Maya. You know, so Krishna is hidden by Maya to those who are non-devotees, those atheists, and those who are envy, those people he cannot see. So in an assembly, the Lord could allow himself to be visible to only those eaters, while to others he may remain invisible. Same thing in Duryodhana and all the Kauravas, they could not see. They saw Krishna, but they could not see Krishna as the Supreme Lord. Only Pandavas and very few select individuals could see, like Bhishma Pitama, they could see Krishna as he is. Okay, next PowerPoint, please. So here, doubt may occur. So the eyes and other senses are all material beings, are material, yeah, possibly doubt. Then how is possible that, because our eyes are material, so they can perceive only material objects. Indeed, Brahmaji designed our very senses, he engineered all our senses, eyes, nose, ears, and so on like that. The five Gyanendriyas, knowledge gathering senses, and five working senses, they are all designed to work only feelings, you know, otherwise it doesn't work. And Gajendra saw the Lord, then his body, it must be material. So when Gajendra saw that body of the Lord, so Lord's body also might be material, guesses. So that is also refuted here, that he is all pervading, he can not visible and vice versa. So objects that are subatomic in size, and that's why that Ravani says in that verse, you know, that anur anime, you know, that he is subatomic size. So how can you see that subatomic size? So Lord mercy alone that makes it possible. So Jiva Goswami explains that although the form of the Lord is within, it can be made visible by his mercy. I, who am the Supreme Paramatma and the most beloved of all, am attainable for those established in truth only through unalloyed devotion. So see that Lord mentions there, only through bhakti I am known, you see, with firm faith. And the faith is reinforced by hearing this kind of verses from Srimad Bhagavatam actually. See that? Faith, in order to solidify our faith, we must hear in the company of the devotees, you know. So bhakti is performed with exclusive fixation upon me, purifies even the outcast dog eaters. So this is saying to Uddhav, in Uddhav Gita actually, you know, that even the lowest of the low people, they can attain me by simply the bhakti. There is a great Vedic scholar, if they don't have bhakti, they cannot see me. So how do we understand then Krishna appears? So that's the question I put forward to all of you. I just told you that it is because when they see it, they don't see Krishna who really is. Next one, please. Yes, let's keep this one. What happened to 11, I believe? Yeah, so text 47, 48. So his name, form, actions and attributes are all, so just like his form, bodily form, Liladam, also they are all transcendental. So this is another verse, Jiva Goswami quotes. Na vidyate yasya chakra janma karma va nama rupe guna dosha tathapi
శ్లోకాభ్య సంభవాయ స్వమాయయా తాని అనుకాలం పృచ్చతి. సో భగవాన్ హెస్ నో బట్ యాక్షన్ నేమ్ ఫోమ్ వాట్ యువర్ బైసెస్ హవర్ ఫోర్ ది పర్పస్ ఆఫ్ క్రియేటింగ్ అండ్ డిస్ట్రాయింగ్ దిస్ మెటీరియల్ వరల్డ్ హి ఎక్సెప్ట్ దిస్ పర్పెచువలీ బై ది ఇంటర్నల్ ఫోర్సెస్. సో హీ హెస్ నథింగ్ టు డూ విత్ దట్ బట్ జస్ట్ ఫర్ ద పర్పస్ ఆఫ్ క్రియేషన్ మెయింటెనెన్స్ అండ్ దెన్ ఫైనల్ రిజల్యూషన్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ యూనివర్స్ కాస్మాస్ he accepts these three guna avatars, you know, the three quality incarnations, Brahma, Lord Brahma, Lord Vishnu himself, and then Lord Shiva, you know, for that purpose. So this is also again, so when he appears in the material world, it seems like that he may have this, and that's why he's part of his contradictory qualities are there within him actually, you know. But although all opposing qualities exist in him, one should never assume him to have defects. So that is, it seems, it just apparently look like that, you know, but it's not. So he may accommodate that, but in reality it's not. So all the virtues, even contradictory ones, are exist in him. This is from Kurma Purana. So senses of dead body are not actually the senses. So here again, the point is making here that we are able to see this, our eyes, ears, that we have right now, they are not the real senses actually. And I told you many, many times, these are just outlets, these are the seats. The real senses are the internal senses. And each of the internal senses, there is a particular demigod. Those are the presiding deities of that internal senses. And they are also under the control of the Lord actually. So ultimately, Lord is the one who controls our senses, you know, and that is why he is the also for the control, there's a particular name for it there, you know. I forgot that name, what is called, particular form of Krishna is called, that he is controls of all our indriyas also actually, you know. He'll come back. Yeah, thank you. So the senses of the dead body are not actually the senses, but just their respective states. So these are subtle, though residing within the gross body. And these are beyond sense perception. That since the Lord never leaves his body, there is no possibility for him to take conventional birth. So, you know, that's again, the Lord appears and disappears. He does not appear like us to the karmic reaction. He appears by his own swamaya, by his own desire, and he does not take place, appear as an ordinary human beings or ordinary living entities. Ordinary living entities appear because of the union between the sperm and egg, male and female union, would appear like that. And that is why that verse we saw that he is not male nor female like that. So he is not the result of conception involving male sperm fertilizing a female egg. Neither male, female, or hermaphrodite. In fact, later there's a verse that Jiva Goswami quotes that what about then? There's a verse there actually in the fourth canto, but Kardama Muni. You know? So when Kardama Muni you know, makes union with Devahuti, Lord appears, right? So there it is said that, in fact, there's one of the next PowerPoints there. Then. So he makes rules, yet he is beyond them, he is all his Swarupa. Next problem to me. So Jiva Goswami explains that anomaly also. So Jiva Goswami explains that the Lord is transcendent to all material gunas. There is no possibility of him accepting any material quality, good or bad. Therefore, in his earthly pastimes, he enacts human-like pastimes, displaying apparent human defects from the material viewpoint only. But there can be no material. Swamaya, by his internal force, by his own desire he appears. External maya cannot influence him. Oh, here is that point. See, there is a verse there. The Kardama Muni verse says that Lord appeared in the mind of Kardama Muni and that's mentioned Virya. The word says, so Jiva Goswami interprets the word Virya is also in Sanskrit, Simon is called Virya. But Virya actually means, strictly speaking, Virya means vitality, the potency, the power, you know. So here, it was not due to Kardama Muni's sperm that entered Devahuti's womb. Actually, it is the power, the vitality of his bhakti. through which Lord entered Devotee's womb, actually. That is the way Jiva Goswami is explaining that. So Lord has nothing to do with this normal conception process. Nothing to do with the Lord appears by his own desire, by his own will, that he appears. So Lord Kapildev actually appeared as the son of Kardam Muni and Mata Devavati. Later on, he gives great instruction to Mata Devavati. Next problem. Okay. So just as Krishna is transcendental, eternal, Swar is not different from him. His names may convey an attribute he possesses. So it's just like Govardhan, who lifted the great hill, Govardhan Hill. If the Lord's name is transcendental, how can it be chanted? So this is another question people might ask, that how can we chant with our material tongue? So Jiva Goswami again defends that. He's saying that it's not, our tongue is not doing the chanting process. It's the Lord's holy name by its potency, it's actually itself vibrates on our ear. It's self-manifest. Otherwise, how? So Jiva Goswami gives an example of Bharat Maharaj. When Bharat Maharaj, out of his three births, when he was a king, Bharat, he was a great devotee actually. He was almost on a platform. So in the forest, when he renounced his kingdom and family, in the forest, he became attached to this baby deer actually. It's so much so that eventually he started neglecting his devotional service. And his heart, his mind was stuck. That when he dies, he had to take a birth as a deer in the next life actually. But even the deer's body, because he had done this bhakti, so Krishna is very merciful. Even if a little bit of bhakti you did, you never forget. But Krishna makes sure that we remember even the broad bodily form in which we have appeared. Sarvam piyasi dharmasya trayate mahato bhayat. So this little bhakti can save us from the greatest danger in life actually. So Bharat Maharaj was able to remember himself what he did. So even the deer's body, when he was in danger, bodily danger, he began chanting. So how can a capacity to chant, right? They have no capacity, they have no capacity to speak even now. But Bharat Maharaj was able to move in the deer's body. So that is also, it's the holy name that actually vibrates, dances on the tip of our tongue actually. Tongue doesn't do the chanting process. There's another thing that I learned here. There's really amazing things we learn. So if the holy name is so powerful and glorious, then why do people in general don't feel like don't feel its potency? There's another question people might ask, you know. That if such great why people don't chant? Even if you just keep telling them, please chant Hare Krishna, please chant Hare Krishna. They don't do that, you know. So why is it that? So here Jiva Goswami is answering question. Because the chanting must be, because in order to test this potency, it must be free of all the nama brothers. They are 10 nama brothers. So we must chant offenselessly as much as possible to realize full potency. Even though name itself is very powerful, it says that actually in King this Ajamil story. But even if you chant by mistake, even by jokingly, its potency is there. It's going to save you from various danger. Like Ajamil was saved from the Yamadutas because he had chanted but he chanted without offense actually, you know. And that really helped him save that. So that is what the process here. We must try to chant offense basically. So there are 10 offenses listed for that. Lord's body is all spiritual and but purely of consciousness. It's like that great famous Bhagavati was, you know. Advaita Jnana. Jnana is consciousness. So that is the supreme consciousness, supreme eternal consciousness, one without second. So that is what Lord's bodily form is pure consciousness. It has no material tinge, all spiritual. So it is, and it is non-different from it. That is his inner swarupa. Okay, next part. So this is another very interesting verse is there. So verse here now, text 48. the Lord's senses are transcendental. His senses are also transcendental. The Vedic verses describe the Lord as not having hands. So that's in Bhagavad Gita, I say that actually, that he has thousands of hands, legs and so like that. And that is the description of the super soul actually. Infinite form of self-manifesting bliss. The personified Vedas establish that the statement does not intend that the absolute truth is formless or unqualified. So that is not the description of Brahman. That is the characteristic of personal Brahman. That's the Paramatma. Paramatma is indeed the localized form of the Lord, person form. So this is why this another verse is given here. Very interesting verse. From Akarana, again, this also I have broken down here. From Akarana Swarad. Swarad means the completely independent. Akhira Karaka Shakti Dharas. Tava Malin Udvanti Samadanti Ajaya Ajaya Anunisha. Varsha Bhujo Akhila Kshati Patera Eva Vishwashrajo. Vidadati Vidadati Tetrave Pa Adhikrita Bhavatas Chakitaha. Though you have no material senses, Akhila Karakshatas, Akarana, you have no material senses, you are self-effulgent sustainer of everyone's sensory powers. So that is what it is. That name came to my mind. Rishikesha. That's why Lord Krishna is also called Rishikesha. He is the controller of all senses, you know. Even though internal senses are, there's a presiding demigods are there, but demigods themselves are actually his servants. So ultimately the Krishna is the control of all our senses, Rishikesha. That's why when Arjuna decided to surrender himself, he let Krishna take care of his senses, Rishikesha. So he said that though you have no material senses, Krishna does not have material senses, but he is the one who controls all material senses. That's the interesting part. The demigods and material nature self offer you tribute while also enjoying the tribute offered to them by their worshippers. Just as subordinate rulers of various districts and kingdom offer tribute to their lord, the ultimate proprietor of the lord, while also enjoying the tribute paid them by own subject. So basically saying that our senses are controlled by the demigods, but demigods themselves pay tribute to the lord actually, who is the ultimate controller actually. So that is what it is. So in this way, the universal creators, who are the universal creators, all the expansions, you know, the Purusha expansions, Mahavishnu, Garbhodakshina Vishnu, Shivadakshina Vishnu, the super soul expansion, all these are expansions of the Lord actually. They all, for the purpose of maintaining this universe, creating, maintaining, ultimately dissolving, they all are actually subservient to the Lord. He himself is the ultimate controller. Under his super, although he himself does not play, is involved in the maintenance running of the universe. So take faith in science service out of fear of you. Take fear personified itself, himself is fearing of Krishna. What's that? It's interesting. The fact, in fact, that's why when Devaki offers prayers to the Lord, Devaki at that time was greatly scared of her brother Kamsa, because Kamsa had already killed six of her babies previously. And when Krishna came as the eighth son, seventh was of course Baladeva, you know, Baladeva was taken out. So she was very much afraid, but then when Krishna showed her and Vasudevji his four-armed Narayana form, at that time, to make them understand that in place like that they are prayed to have Lord Vishnu as their son, that's why Lord Vishnu himself is their son in this lifetime, that's what they show. And then of course, Mata Devaki requests him to become a normal human baby, and then Krishna, baby Krishna actually. So this is again the point that she makes that in their verse, that you, my Lord, you are personified fears about you. So why should I need to worry about this? So concern is nothing compared to that, you know. Hare Krishna. Okay, we are almost ending. That's another verse. Yatta kaya yasha bhuvana traya sannivesho, yas
Nails, hair, body, head is filled with flesh, bones, blood, parasites.
stone like that. You know, it's nothing but a living curse. Course, only a foolish woman was ever never relish and any philosophy would serve her husband. So who will care? So basically, she said, who will care to accept a husband of this material body when someone has a spiritual body as my husband? Why would I care for this kind of things? You know? So that's what she's pointing out. So again, there's a difference here. Krishna has no material body. So all these things that Krishna's body is also fragrant, all spiritual fragrance, everything is there. So she points out that the limbs and body of Bhagavan are completely, totally distinct from the material limbs described here. That's the point that Jiva Goswami is making. Even his hair is Satchit Ananda. Amazing, isn't it? Even hair, when we think that our nails and hairs are outer things, you know, but not in case of Krishna, even the hairs are totally Satchidananda. That is transcendental, Satchit Ananda. It is only through pronounced bewilderment, vimodra, one would consider various four orders emanating from the body of everyone to be beautiful. Okay, let's move on to the next one. Okay, here Jiva Goswami uses a particular a logic that's given in Vedas, you know, to arrive at a particular point. So you make a supposition and then you come, then you make a final conclusion here. So he gives an example that there's a proposition that Bhagavan must have a form. He's not Nirguna Nirakara that way. He does have a definite form. It is a proposition, right? How do you go about and prove it, you know? So what is the reasoning behind that? Anumana, you know, logic. Because he is the creator, you know, Shastra says he created this universe. So since someone who created something, so he must have a form. Otherwise, how would he create, you know? If one who doesn't have a himself, how is he going to create a form of this universe? So that's the reasoning. So he must possess a knowledge and he and particular will to do that. And capacity to do also, you know. So then you come arrive at a universal proposition that whoever created must have a body. Yeah. Just an example of water, you know. Water creates parts, so he himself must have that body also, you know. Same way, a creator must also have a body. You know? So the application is Bhagavan created this universe, and so the final conclusion, therefore, he must have a form. See that? Very, very logical way. Is proving that Krishna also has a form. And another way, and prove that his body is all spiritual and not material. No. So proposition is that Krishna's form is eternal. No. So reason is because he is his instrument. So universal proposition, whenever it serves as Bhagavan's instrument, such as his knowledge is eternal. So application, Bhagavan's body is instrument in creation. In an interesting way, Jiva Goswami, you know, by logical way of his arriving at the conclusion that Krishna has a form and his form is eternal and is all spiritual. Next point. So this last verse, all contradictory statements reconciled. So I'm going to summarize very quickly here. So there are two schools of philosophy here, Yoga and Sankhya, you know. Both, you know, say the same thing actually, but there's difference in the, in a subtle way. You know? So they have diametrically opposite views actually. The yoga school, they say that those who are neophytes, those who do not have the capacity to realize from the Lord a spiritual form. So a transcendental form, so they are recommended, this is given in Srimad Bhagavatam, in the second canto, you know, very first chapter. So the first step in thought realization, Sukadeva Goswami says, so for those neophytes, it's recommended that this worship, they must see this universal form, material form as the Lord. So then when they realize the great majesty of this great universe, and their power behind that, you know, supreme intelligence must be there. So that is where they must begin first, that to to worship the universal material form, and slowly they will gather, they come to the second step, then they will realize that super soul realization. Yeah. So that is the yoga school, right? So now the Sankhya school, he said, no, that is not like that. Sankhya school is saying that everything is made of material elements, actually. So there's a great controversy going on there, actually. You know? So that's what Jiva Goswami is pointing out there. The Vedic literature, there appears to be dispute or controversy regarding the absolute. Either affirmating that it is there, yoga school, and then there's another one is the thing negative, that no, this one. So one is the pulling by positive ways, other is pulling negative ways. Negative way means by eliminating, by process of elimination. No, this is not there, this is not there, it's not, so there must be this one, like that. So Sankhya Yoga, it belongs to that second school. So Jiva Goswami is pointing out that really there is no controversy. Both these apparently opposing Vedic literatures, Vedic statements, are really describing one and the same Bhagavan. The goal of both of these paths is the same. There is no contradiction between them. So here, to prove that, he quotes a verse spoken by Daksha Prajapati. So Daksha is saying that verse is given this, he says this verse, Hansa Guhya prayers, that we actually discussed some of the verses from this prayers earlier also last week, actually, remember. And same way it's spoken by Dhruva Maharaj also says the same thing. Next one. So this is the so here, asti iti nasti iti shri vastu nishtayo ekastriyo minna virudha dharmano. So I'll read the translation. So the adherents of yoga and sankhya are intent on the truth, saying that. And he's pointing out this controversy between these two different schools of philosophy. One and the same, basically saying one and the same, but they attribute different opposing characteristics to it, either by affirming or negating. One is showing by positive way, another is showing by negative way. But they are saying the same thing. They both see the same something which is transcendental, favorable to their understanding, and supremely great. So to bless those who worship the lotus feet, the unlimited Lord, who is complete with opulences, and devoid of material names and form, and assume the name and form along with his birth and activities. May that transcendental one be gracious upon me. So that's what Daksha's prayer is saying there. So Daksha resolves the seemingly irreconcilable attitudes by stating that the Lord's name and form are para. Para means transcendental, beyond. This means that the Lord's name and form are different from by the force of yoga. Yoga's, you know, their recommendation to worship this universal form, their material elements only, you know, this material universe. So those related to the Lord's material universal form, and those rejected by force of Sankhya, so the Lord is devoid of material name and form. Anama Rupa, so Lord is Anama Rupa, he is the form of, devoid of names, names mean material names, but manifest transcendental name and form out of mercy for his devotees. Okay, the last PowerPoint. This is another verse. O unborn Supreme Lord, this is Dhruva Maharaj saying actually. O unborn Supreme Lord, I am able to know only this verse. Cosmic form is full of animals, trees, mountains, birds, reptiles, demigods, demons, beasts, and so on, and composed of many elements like Mahatattva, all intertwined in a chain of cause and effect. But until now, I did not know what lies beyond all these things, where all controversies find resolutions. Basically, Purma is saying that, my Lord, until I saw you now, before I did not know all these things, but now that I have seen you, all those doubts and differences are completely separate from my mind. So everything is properly reconciled if one considers the personal aspect of the Lord. So that is the trick, that is the secret, that we must understand that Lord, Supreme Lord, is Supreme Consciousness, all spiritual, transcendental, and He is not something but some entity with without any kind of nirguna nirakara. That is not like that. He has spiritual form. So that is the first step to be understanding to become a devotee actually. Natam param param vedayat. Okay. So I'll stop it. So here is the highlight of this, what I found there in the entire this class, is that Krishna is all pervading, his form. His form is all spiritual, no material elements. And still is, even though he is all spiritual, so normally on material eyes we cannot see him, right? And yet by his own desire, by Lord's own mercy, to his devotees, he makes himself visible. So that brings up first and foremost that Krishna exists, and he does listen to his devotees' prayers, and then he does show mercy to his devotees. He makes himself available to his devotees. That is that really builds, solidifies our faith and conviction, and it keeps us going to be engaged continually in devotional service and keep continuing that this great interest, resolution. And that resolution is what? It's single focused, to keep determined to hear all about Krishna wherever it is possible. I'll stop here. And sorry, today also I ran over time. Let me see if there are a few questions I can take from here. Bhavana Mataji, good to hear Bhavana Mataji, so nice. Devotee Mataji, so Rukmini Devi openly says anyone who serves her husband instead of Krishna are foolish. I often relish this chapter. Krishna teases Rukmini. What is your message? So basically what Rukmini Devi is saying, because she was reacting to teasing by Krishna, So she's saying that, all these husbands who are materially oriented, then of course recognizes to serve Krishna in that sense. I will reserve my message. I don't want to get in trouble. So basically his point is that, you try your best to motivate others to serve Krishna. Sometimes you can tell them, but you cannot force them. Suppose someone's husband is not a devotee or someone's wife is not a devotee, don't be discouraged. You show by your own example. That is the best way of preaching someone. To motivate someone and to bring them into Krishna conscious platform, you do it by your own platform actually, by your own example. That is the way to do it actually. Yeah, it's easier said than done actually. Okay, Sarat Prabhu, why we are not able to see the demigods? Their bodies are not same as the Lord's. Okay, this answer is, Prabhupada gives the answer somewhere elsewhere. But see, our bodies are made of Pancha Mahabhuta, right? Earth, water, fire, air, ether. So, earth, fire, water, they are more gross elements. And there are several elements like ether and space and sky and like that. So, demigods' bodies, so these five different elements but are mixed in different proportions. Bodily forms are like that. So, demigods' bodies are more subtler than ours. Ours is much more grosser bodies. That's why it's visible to see that. So, demigods can, it cannot be visible unless that. But Krishna's body is not made of any of the material elements. It's subtlest of all, all spiritual. So demigod also has some power, of course, much superior than humans. But compared to demigod, compared to the spiritual matter, I'm sorry, compared to Krishna, they are also, ultimately they are all made of material elements too. Indra, Brahma, and so on like that. Karma is because of endeavor to fulfill our innumerable desires, but if the duty is performed as per Shastri injunction, then it should not be counted as karma. You know, Sharad Prabhu, let me make a point here. Karma means if you do a bad karma, you suffer, right? You perform sinful acts. And if you perform good karma, you will reverse. But even good karma also, in order to enjoy the reverse, you still have to come back in the next life, either as a demigod or so like that. But those karmas or karma, which does not have any reaction. So good karma also has reaction, good reaction nonetheless, but for good reaction, you have to come back to enjoy those rewards. And if you don't want to come back, then don't even do that. So you have to do all karma. All karma means those karmas without any reaction to it, you know. And that is devotional service. So that's the difference. So it's a karma, vikarma, and akarma. That's the chapter in Bhagavad Gita, you should read about it. Okay, Padmakar, if this is so, Advaita Vajis may say that actually absolute truth is actually impersonal. Gajendra also prayed to impersonal Krishna, but when absolute truth comes to the material world, it takes form. How will it fit? So this is a very famous argument Mayavadi has always put through that. And Jiva Goswami, very, very elaborately, we discussed at great length in Tattva Sandarbha also this argument so many times actually. So I'm almost out of time actually, but basically here, just like Gajendra prayers also rules out that even though he prayed, but he was devotee in his previous life, so he did not, in the verse itself, he did not point out those characteristics, but nonetheless, it was, so his desire to see was the personal form, and that's why Lord Vishnu actually appeared in a personal form. He was not praying to the impersonal Brahman aspect of it. Jash Prabhu. Someday we can also see Krishna. Yes, if we have desire and determination, Krishna will, but it's all up to Krishna. It's his mercy. He's totally independent. We cannot force him. Okay, then I'll stop here and conclude the class. Thank you very much for your patience. Dishana, if you're ready, let's conclude the class. Hi, Mo.
Haya namaste narasimhaya pranam.